I was at an intersection the other day, over 404 and 480, just waiting for the light to change, and a big truck of some kind, almost looked like a slightly smaller than a dump truck, went by, and it had the company name on the back of the truck, only it was written in Old English letters. You know, Old English is pretty fancy. It's got a lot of lines and shapes and everything like that. Sometimes it's kind of hard to read at a glance. And as this truck went by and made the turn, and I saw the company name on the back of the truck, for a moment, I could swear that it said, Gay Tree Experts. Now, I know that's not what it said, you know. I'm sure it said, Bay Tree Experts. But for a moment, in my mind, it really looked like Gay Tree Experts. Now, I don't know what a gay tree looks like. I'm sure by the time these experts got done with it, it was probably transgendered as well. But the whole reason I'm mentioning that is because, you know, wasn't a whole lot of years ago, that truck would have gone by and it wouldn't have even made an impression on me. If I couldn't read the name, I just would have left it at that. I don't think I even would have had any ideas as to what it said. It just would have gone by and I would have gone about my business. But because of the culture that we're living in right now, because of all the numerous events that are taking place in our society, in politics, in culture, in the media, in our educational systems, in our families, in every aspect of life, those things are really so prominent anymore that it cannot be avoided. You hear about gay culture, gay marriage, gay theology, gay rights, court battles, legislative battles. All these kinds of things are going on, and so it's inescapable. These issues are upon us, and we really need to understand the depth and the width and the details of what's involved in these issues, because truly, much is at stake from either side. We are living in historic times. Amen? Praise God. You may have heard recently, of course, we're all familiar with some of the things that have been really big in the news, Proposition 8 during the election. You may have heard recently that the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America decided that they were going to allow openly practicing gay clergy. That was a highly controversial decision. It will probably fracture that church and split that church the same way that the Episcopal Church has been split in recent years. Who knows what the fallout of that will be? One of our own members recently, several days ago, she's not here today, she's an educator. She was confronted by five fellow educators in this Christian school where she works, and they advised her that the school would not be and should not be telling students about that homosexual practices are sinful. They were talking about creating a sexual education class, who was going to run that and what was going to be the curriculum, and they made it a point to say that we are not to tell our kids that that is sinful behavior. She's actually going to give a testimony of that next week or thereabouts. So it's quite a situation. This is a Christian school. Cross on the wall, the whole nine yards. Many of you might find yourself in a similar situation. Now, that was 5-1, and frankly, she handles herself very well. I was proud of her. She was gracious. She was winsome. Her answers were right on the target. But any one of us could find ourselves in a situation, face-to-face or on Facebook, where these issues are brought up and we are challenged as to what we believe and as to what the Bible teaches, what God's Word teaches about this whole issue, this whole matter. And because lately the arguments have become quite sophisticated, if I can say that, it's not just, well, you know, verse 3 says this. Well, they know that. And there are many. You may have heard, I don't know, some of you may have heard of a word called sophistry. I don't know, maybe Ian has heard of that. What it means is that they build these huge, massive arguments that are very elaborate, very complex, and they really don't have any foundation. I mean, you know, you pull the little card out from under this house of the cards and the whole thing comes crumbling down. Nevertheless, for those who are uninformed, it can be very intimidating. It can be very confusing. So we want to take the next 2-3 weeks and just do a short series about this very thing so that we can really know what the issues are. What does Scripture say, in fact, about this whole area of homosexuality, either in general or the practice of it? What does it say about the church as far as it relates to that and our role in the culture? And this can be kind of tricky, because although the Bible is very clear on this issue, it would be easy to simply engage in some point-counterpoint kind of thing and forget the fact that we are dealing with people, we are dealing with individuals who are wrestling with issues that go to the very core of their being. This is not simply a debate in a vacuum. This is not simply a bunch of guys throwing scripture verses back and forth at each other. This involves people whose lives are affected by this. Although homosexual practices involve a choice, homosexuality per se is very complex psychologically and may have many issues, may have many root causes. I do not believe that it's genetic. I have not come across any tests that really are conclusive. But frankly, many people who are gay do not like being that way. They are uncomfortable with the attractions that they feel. They wish they would go away. Many of them have spent years of their lives wrestling with this, praying that that would stop, praying that it would go away, searching for the answers, and finally in frustration, they just give up and just say, well, you know, God made me this way. I don't know how to avoid it, and so I'm just going to give in and live this lifestyle because I don't know how else to go about it. And maybe they don't. Maybe they've never been told, or maybe they don't understand that there is genuine hope for change through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. It can transform a heart. But if they don't understand that, if they don't know that, it's very easy for them to simply give up in frustration. And so in dealing with these things and in speaking with people who are homosexual or who are wrestling with their sexuality, we need to be, number one, compassionate. We don't want to be like Fred Phelps and go around calling them names and disrespecting them. We want to be compassionate. We want to be persuasive. We want to answer and speak intelligently. We want to be winsome. And we want to be respectful, even if they are disrespectful, even if they say, because, I mean, you know, we are all humans. It cuts in both directions. I've heard hurtful things said from either side of that, directed at the other people, frankly. But the Lord Jesus, Scripture says that when he was reviled, he did not revile in return, and that should be our example. We should be kind and patient and speak intelligently and very graciously, because this may be a brother or sister in Christ in the future that we would be spending eternity with. Now, there's an impression that a lot of people are just basically just bigoted against gays, and there are people who are bigoted against gays. But the fact that I believe that homosexuality is clearly condemned in Scripture is not simply because I was brought up to believe that way or I've never been exposed to the other side. Frankly, when I was growing up, when I was in my young teens, two of my closest friends at different times in my life, one was a closet homosexual who was wrestling with that attraction, tormented by it, trying to figure out what to do about it. He was a very influential person in my life. He got me started in music, got me started playing the drums. Wonderful friend. He died of brain cancer several years ago, and I miss him greatly. He eventually got saved also, which was pretty cool. There was also another guy who wasn't in the closet. In fact, he demolished the closet with a sledgehammer. He was embarrassing to be in public with sometimes. But we had a lot of fun together. He respected the fact that I was straight. I didn't care that he was gay. We both just liked to party our brains out, and that's what we would do. We would get together and party our brains out, and you know, and we got to be very close friends, best friends, as a matter of fact. Shared a lot of our lives together for a number of years. We'd go out and party, and he'd pass out, and if I could wake him up, I'd drag him into the house at the end of the evening. If not, I'd just, you know, go home, and he'd sleep in the car. Because when he was out, he was out. So, you know, although I am straight and I've always been straight. I'm not coming where I am from a place of ignorance or simply lack of exposure. Scripture says what it says. The Word of God is the Word of God. And that is the foundation for our lives. Praise God. So let's go ahead and dive in. This week we're going to start in the Old Testament. There's so much here. I would put you guys to sleep trying to get through it all at once, or I just couldn't really even give it justice, the justice that it deserves. So we're going to take the Old Testament this week. Next week we're going to take the New Testament specifically. And we may or may not spend the third week just talking about some issues that how it actually applies in real life. So let's dive right in. We could actually begin, if we wanted, we could actually begin right in the very second chapter of Genesis, Genesis 2:24. But we're going to actually save that for next week because Jesus quotes that and gives some insight into that. So we're going to save that for when we're dealing with the New Testament. Instead, we're going to start with a very familiar story in Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 to 11. You may have heard of a pair of cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. How many people have never heard of them? Good, okay. Okay, one. That's okay. And she's probably kidding, I don't know. Okay. In this passage, right before this passage comes up, and this is kind of pivotal, this is a very important foundational passage in the Old Testament. In this passage, right before this happens, God is speaking to Abraham. Abraham is the guy he made a covenant with, that his descendants would be, you know, like the sand of the sea, and that he would be blessed by God, and that his descendants would be a blessing to the whole earth. God tells Abraham, as he's wrapping up a conversation, he says, you know what, there's these cities over there in the plains, Sodom and Gomorrah, and because the outcry against them is great, and because their sin is very great, I am going to go check them out and see if it is as they say, and then my intent will be to destroy those cities. He says, you're a friend of mine. Abraham was known as a friend of God, so I'm going to tell you what I'm doing so that you'll know. Now, Abraham at that point begins to negotiate with God and says, hey, well, will you spare the cities if there are 50 righteous people in the city? And God says, sure. And they continue negotiating down until it comes to the point where Abraham, he's almost afraid to speak anymore. He says, well, God, look, what if there's 10 people in there that are righteous? Will you spare the city for 10 people? And he says, I'll spare it for 10 people. And obviously Abraham was concerned because his nephew lived there. And so that very night, two angels visit Sodom, and their plan was to sleep out in the open in the city square. And Lot, his nephew, Abraham's nephew, happens to be coming along, and he sees these guys there. And they tell him, hey, we're going to sleep in the square. And he's like, you don't want to do that. Please, come and stay at my house. And like, well, you know, we're comfortable. He's like, no, you don't understand. Please, come and stay at my house tonight. I will take care of you. They're like, okay, fine, we'll come. And so they go over and they go into his house. And it picks up here, Genesis 19, starting at verse 4.